Good morning to you. Man, I'm so glad you're joining me as we walked through the book of Romans today in the Word. If this has been a blessing to you, or you would like to be able to know when these lessons come out, would you just subscribe with that button by just clicking on the subscribe button, make comments, and if you don't mind, share this so others get the Word. We're walking through the book of Romans, and we're early in chapter 1. Today, I want to pick up in reading verse 7 and 8 and 9. So thank you for joining us. Right here at verse 7, Paul makes some statements here concerning whom he is writing. And he says, verse 7, to all who are in Rome. Now he's addressing this letter, beloved of God and called to be saints. That's you. I know sometimes people get the idea that a saint is someone only in the scriptures or in some traditions, those who've been given sainthood. No. A saint are those whom God has called, set apart unto him. We've been talking about the calling of God in your life and that you're called to be saints. And he is saying, these who I'm writing to are the ones who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a greeting that Paul gives. Grace means God's unmerited favor and God's ability. And peace, he says, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot can be said about how Paul regularly addresses God, our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord Jesus Christ is the same as saying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ as God. The term Lord is the same term you would see in the Old Testament referenced to God as Lord. And so God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the Messiah, the Anointed One. And he makes that comment regularly. And so you have to see the triune Godhead when you read Paul. You have to see that. And of course here, God the Father, God the Son, as he says, grace to you and peace. Aren't you glad that God's made peace with us? Because while we were enemies, he demonstrated his love towards us. That while we were against him and his enemies, he died for us. Through Jesus Christ, we're reconciled to God. There's nothing, we're fully accepted, fully loved. We are at peace. And I would just encourage you to be at peace with your life in him. Not charging or speaking adversely against him, but saying, God, I believe that your will is at work in my life. You've made peace with me, and I'm going to walk in that peace. Now, he says in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ that you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, notice what he says. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. He's always doing this. Why? Because you can't even give praise apart from Jesus. Our access to God is through Jesus and Jesus alone. I thank my God. It's his God. Oh, wow. Every little word Paul writes is important. It's a personal God. Really personal. He's our Father. And he says, I thank my God. And I do it through Jesus Christ. Our access to the Father is through Jesus. Jesus said while he was here on the earth, and in that day you'll ask of me nothing, but you will ask the Father in my name. What is he saying? He's saying you'll come to the Father in the authority that I have. I'm including you as the family. Hebrews says he's not afraid to call us his brothers. We have made full access. We come boldly before the throne of grace. It's called the throne of grace. We have full access. And so he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That word is cosmos. I was kind of surprised. That Greek word, that means the whole world. Sometimes another word oikumene is used, reference the occupied, which would be the Roman Empire. And you'll see that those words used interchangeably, but here Paul's making a big statement that the Christians in Rome, the saints in Rome, people had heard about their faith throughout the whole world. He's saying, this is far-fetched. People hear this. And he's excited about coming to them. And so when he prays for them, he says, for God is my witness. He said, I'm telling you, I'm telling you the truth is what he's saying. God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit. Remember that. In the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now I want to pull out something here where he makes mention that God is his witness whom he serves. Listen to this, whom he serves with my spirit in the gospel of his son. I serve God, he said, in my spirit. Now, why does Paul say that? You know, in Thessalonians, I don't know if you went through the book of Thessalonians with us, but he wraps up the book in chapter 5 by saying, may God himself sanctify you, both spirit, soul, and body. Here he says, I serve God with my spirit. I serve the gospel with my spirit. What does it mean to serve with your spirit? Well, when we talk about spirit, soul, and body, I don't want you to get the idea that we're three different things or beings, but we do have a soul. We are a spirit. We live in a body. Paul, when he referenced, in me dwells no good thing, that in the body there's the law at work in the members, that law of sin. But the flesh, it would help you if you could see the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, any part of your mind that's not been renewed, your will that's not been submitted, your emotions that have not been healed, that would constitute being affected as flesh. Meaning, you could be misled by your opinions and your emotions and your feelings and your will. You can say, I don't want to do this. And you can complain against God and the situations that you're in. You can resist. Your devastation will be as lengthy as your hesitation because of God, since you're God's, he's going to keep pulling you and you may be kicking against the prick. But so your will is trained by the scriptures that you might submit to the will of God. And it starts with your mind. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind and your will and the emotions have to be renewed. Your mind starts by lining up with the scriptures, what the scripture says, and let the scriptures work in you, because the engrafted word is able to save the soul. The soul is that part that I'm talking about. Now, Paul is saying here, I serve God with my spirit. Now, what's the difference? Watchman Nee would explain it this way, that the life of God is in you, like in a seed. And when Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground, it abides alone. What does that mean? That means it does not produce its life. When you put a seed in the ground, after a while, through the moisture and the warmth, the outside of that seed is cracked. What comes out? The life that's in the seed comes out and it goes into the ground and becomes life, and a plant comes up and a tree comes up. I could say it this way. Your soul does not have life in it. The life is in your spirit. Now, your soul is affected by your spirit. And so your emotions can be out of whack, but your spirit can have peace in it. Does that make sense? So when you are a soulless Christian, you're not ever thinking about coming out of your spirit or serving God with your spirit, because it's in your spirit where you perceive. It's in your spirit where you have fellowship with God. It's in your spirit there that you're going to walk and follow the Lord. And you're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your spirit. God is spirit. And he looks for those, desires for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it's so easy for us just to get in the habit of just spouting off things out of our mind. I gave them a piece of my mind, or this is what I believe. And could you just stop and say, maybe people are not interested in what I believe or what I think, but what does the Word of God say? What's truth coming out of my spirit so that I'm led by my spirit to serve the living God, to serve the gospel by my spirit? There's something about that that we need to pay attention to. Can I ask you a question? As you go about your day, are you led by your mind, your will, and emotions? Are you led by the Spirit of God in your spirit? Now, I really recognize there's a lot of things that we do because it's planned and it's okay. But I'm talking about being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you a quick story? Years ago, every day going to my office, I would drive by the Claremore Hospital. And in those days, there was a little chaplain's office, and there was a book with all the patients, and it was before they had all the secrecy, and you could go in and you could see who was there and who was associated with, and go visit them and pray with them. And one day I'm driving by on my way back to the office, and I get this quickening in my spirit. I don't know how to say it anyway. I should go into the hospital. And I ignored it because I got to get to the office, right? And so later on, I came back by. Two or three times that day, I went back and forth by the hospital, and every time it would come to me. Finally, on the third time or fourth time, I whipped in there. I thought, well, what am I supposed to do? So I thought, well, I'll go to the chaplain's little prayer room. So I went in there, and that book was laying there. So I thought, well, I'll open it up. So I opened it up, and a name just like came off the page. So I thought, okay, 205 or whatever room he was in. So I shut the book and got his name and walked up, knocked on the door, kind of peeked in and said, hey, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I just want to come by and see how you're doing and maybe pray for you. And tears just started running down his eyes. And I said, as I began to talk to him, I recognized that he was hungry for the gospel. So I shared the gospel with him. And he accepted Christ. And he said, I was just here today in such desperation, crying out to God, God, if you're real, could you send someone to me? Oh, I was a young pastor. I was probably 25, 26 years old. And I just said, Lord, you're teaching me to serve the gospel by my spirit. Can I encourage you to just be sensitive today as you go about and say, Holy Spirit, lead me to be aware of people around me. What do you want me to do? How are you directing me? May it come out of my prayer life as I serve God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me pray with you. Holy Spirit, you dwell in us. Father, we thank you for who you are, and you've given us your Son, Jesus. You are our God, my God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you for providing a way through the cross that our sins would be forgiven. And now have the abiding of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to each one who's listening to these and be strengthened as they serve God in their spirit. Amen. Hey, I love it that you're following along. Once again, remind you to subscribe. Just click the button right there and subscribe, and also share this. Make any comments. Let people know off of your social media. The Word of God is available as we walk through the book of Romans. Today in the Word.